making you smile. Reverend Clive Morgan was completing his homily at St. John's Church about the dangers of alcohol and the need for moderation and temperance. He announced at the end of his sermon in a loud, clear voice, "If I had all the beer in the world, I'd take it and throw it into the river." With even greater emphasis, he added, "And if I had all the wine in the world, I would take it and throw it to the river, into the river." Finally, he intoned in an extremely serious manner, "And if I had all the whiskey in the world, I'd take it and throw it into the river." Reverend Morgan then sat down. Jerry, St. John's leading chorister, stood up and announced with a smile, "For our closing hymn this Sunday, let us sing hymn number 109, We Shall Gather at the River." And this one was a tricky maneuver. Mrs. Marble, a Sunday school teacher, was describing that when Lot's wife looked back at Sodom, she turned into a pillar of salt. When little Percy interrupted, "My mommy looked back once while she was driving," he announced, "and she turned into a telephone pole." Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like, if you want to follow me, go to the book of Matthew, chapter 2. We all face challenges in life, don't we? There's not one of us that is exempt from challenges, trials, or tests. I mean, things come our way that we did not expect, we did not want, we did not desire, but they're here, aren't they? But you know what? I have something that will help you face any trouble, any trial, any test, and overcome. And that is the joy of the Lord. Amen. Did you know when you have the joy of the Lord, burdens cannot stick to you? Matter of fact, if you're heavy burdened and the joy of the Lord hits you, you feel as light as a feather. Because the joy of the Lord, it comes from within. It's something that God gives us. And we're going to see how we can have joy. And I'm so glad because the Lord showed me some things of a story that we all know, but he gave me some keys on how we can have joy in this story. It's the story of when the wise men came to visit Jesus. And I'm going to read, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Matthew chapter 2. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written in the prophet, And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they had saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." And I want you to have that same exceeding great joy today. It is yours. It is available to you. It has been provided for you. It is already given to you. Now you just need to receive it. You need to possess it, and you need to take it as yours. Okay? And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. As I thought about this story, I thought, you know what? This is really a long distance for a church service. I mean, these guys came from the east. And they came with the sole purpose to worship the king and to give him gifts. They traveled a great distance. Now, these wise men were from the east. We don't know exactly where, but I looked up some things. If they were from Iraq, okay, Baghdad to Jerusalem is about 544 miles, all right? If they walked at a steady pace of 6 kilometers, it'd take 110 hours. How many are up for a 110-hour trip? That's walking at 6 kilometers. If they were from Iran, which is all east, okay, they would have had to go 1,262 miles. And it would take 194.8 hours if you continuously walk at a pace of 6 kilometers per hour. Okay? If they came from India, that is 2,823.73 miles. And it would take 503.4 hours if you walked at the pace of 6 kilometers per hour. If they would have come from Pakistan, that is 2,191.3 miles. From Israel. If they would have come from Afghanistan, that is 1,964.4 miles to Israel. Doesn't matter. Point is, they traveled a great distance. All right? Now, travel in those days, they just couldn't jump on a plane. They had to take camels. They had to walk. They traveled. So it took some time. They were over. The terrain wasn't easy. But the end result of their journey was experiencing exceeding great joy. And they got delivered from danger. And these are some things that the Lord showed me about this story. Okay? Number one, the most impacting joy comes from the greatest display of faith and trust in God. What did they saw a star. Now this star was different from any other star. It stood out, and they followed a star. They were stargazers. And they saw a light from heaven, and they followed the light. How many know Jesus is the light of the world? And he came to shine in a dark place. This earth was made dark from sin, but thank God, God sent the light of the world to us to show us the way. So these men were following a light. They weren't following people. They weren't following a company. They were following a star that was bright. They were following the glory of God. Because God had a destination for them in mind. They were coming to worship a king. Now, when they came into Jerusalem, there was no doubt. They said, "We are here to worship the king." They were bold. They were assured. They had faith. They made a statement. They knew that they were going to worship a king. You know, you're going to find the secret to having exceeding great joy. It is in two things. It is in worship. It is in giving. If you participate in those two things, God is going to give you an abundant joy. All right? And the good news is this isn't even the heart of the message, but this is good. You know, Matthew Henry said, Those who live at the greatest distance from the means of grace often use most diligence and learn to know the most of Christ and his salvation. The more you give to God, the more he's going to give to you. Right? It's called sowing and reaping. Okay? So the most impacting joy comes from the greatest display of faith and trust in God. It took faith and trust to travel that distance just to worship. All they did was go to a worship service. They came before the king, they bowed down, they worshiped him, and they gave their treasures, and they went home. They went to the greatest worship service ever, the most simple worship service ever. It was pure worship. That's what God wants us to do. Doesn't matter where you came from today. You came here because you love Jesus. You want to hear his word. You want to be part of his family. You want to connect with his plan. You want to experience his goodness. I believe that every time we get together, we can have an encounter with God. I don't want just another service. I don't want just information or facts. I want revelation. I want insight into the kingdom of God and his ways. Another thing that I learned from this story, King Jesus is the most worthy pursuit with the greatest reward and the most satisfying joy you will ever experience in life. If you're going to pursue something, it may as well be Jesus. If you're going to go after something, it may as well be Jesus. The Bible says, seek and what? You shall find. We got some seekers in the house today. Man, you're like Jesus-seeking missiles. You're here because you're attracted to Jesus, and you found him here today. Our God is here. So the most, King Jesus is the most worthy pursuit with the greatest reward and the most satisfying joy you will ever experience in life. Did you know when you get to heaven, God's not going to ask you how much money you made? It's not going to matter. He paves his streets with the purest gold. When you get to heaven, he's not going to ask you what position you held. He's going to ask you, number one, do you love my son? And number two, did you follow his plan? That's the only thing that's going to matter for God. And you know what? It's okay while you're following God. You can earn money. You can have a great position. But do it for the glory of God. Do it for his purpose. Do it to glorify him. We're not man pleasers. We're God pleasers. And you may work at a place full of heathen, but guess what? The best place to shine as a light is where darkness is. God's got you there so that you can make a difference. I mean, how many believers were in Egypt when Joseph went there? One. Did you know that God can change a nation with one man? One. And he had some trouble, he had some bad things happen to him, but he kept his faith in God. He kept the joy of the Lord, and God blessed him and promoted him and put him in a position where he could save his people. So these wise men, how many wise men and women are here today? Hopefully you came to pursue Jesus. A third thing that I learned from this story is the degree of your pursuit of God will determine the degree of joy you experience. What kind of joy did they experience? Exceeding great joy. Why? Because they had an exceeding great journey. Do you think that they had opportunities to stop along the way and be deterred from their destination? You think Satan tried to stop them? I mean, Satan didn't know what was going on. Because, you know, he's dark. He's dark. He's the father of lies. He's not motivated by the light. Now, how many of you, in pursuing God's plan for your life, had opportunities to be deterred and to stop and to go another direction and to change ways? You know what? I like what Brother Hagin used to say. He talked about his last headache was in like 1945 or something. And he said, oh, along the way, he said, I passed up marvelous opportunities to have a headache. Amen? That's a good thing. But in your journey, in your pursuit of God, what depth are you willing to go to get to God? Would you climb a tree like Zacchaeus did just to see Jesus? Would you make your way through a crowd in a weakened state like the woman with the issue of blood did just to touch the hem of his garment? You know what? We get stopped by so many insignificant things that deter us from God's plan. Things of life, things that come up, things that are on purpose to try to keep you out of God's plan. Make a determination in your heart today that you're going to be like these wise men, and you're going to let nothing stop you, but you're going to get to your destination. Amen? Because the end of your destination is exceeding great joy. The end of your journey is a reward. The end of your journey is to connect with Christ. The end of your journey is to have a relationship with Him and to spend forever with Him. I want to take as many people to heaven as I can. I can't take anything else, but I can certainly take some people by inviting them to know the Savior that I know. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the power of God to salvation to them that believe. We got the power of God to salvation at our fingertips, in our hearts. Another thing I learned from the wise men, and when I say I learned, God showed me these things. I mean, I'm not clever enough to come up with these things on my own. How much joy you want to have and experience will be determined by how deep you go in God. You remember the story in Ezekiel 47 where the guy saw a river and he said, I want you to measure it, walk out into the water. And he walked out a little bit, it was up to his ankles. Then he walked a little bit further and it was up to his knees. And he walked a little bit further and it was up to his waist. And when he went a little bit further, it was over his head. He was swimming. Are you in an ankle-deep relationship with God? Or are you in a knee-deep relationship with God? Or are you up to your waist in a relationship with God? Or are you so overwhelmed that you have to swim in God? What kind of relationship do you want with God? You know what? It is yours. It's you who determine the level of your relationship with God. Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ lived. Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ rose again. His job is done. Now all he can do is pray for you and I, but you and I have got to pursue him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be taken care of. Everything else will be added to you, but you got to seek him first. You got to put him first. First, not second, not third, first. Jesus demands, he requires, he's worthy of your best effort, your best energy, your best resources. I mean, these wise men, they decided to take a vacation and they were just going to have a worship service. We're going to a foreign nation and we're going to worship our king and then we're going to go home. You think that took some effort? You think that took some planning? You think that took some finances? Absolutely. But were they rewarded? Yes, they got exceeding great joy. And they were delivered from danger. They got to return home safe because they were following their king. How many know your king's got your back? Your king won't let you fail. Your king will pick you up when you fall. Your king, he's the glory and the lifter of your head. He's the very present help in trouble. He's your guiding light. He's the wind behind your sails. He's the anchor to your soul in a storm. He's your all in all. He's your everything. He's your great I am. So the degree of your pursuit of God will determine the degree of your experience you have with God. You know, the Bible is based on a set of rules and laws that God established in Genesis 9, where he said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, will not cease as long as the earth remains. You want a big harvest of God? Sow a big seed. And I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about your life. You want more of God? You know, we sing, I want more of you. Well, how much more have you given of yourself to God? We want more of God, but many times we're unwilling to give more of ourselves. Did you know to whom much is given, much is required? If God's given you a lot, be prepared to do a lot. Even if God hasn't given you a lot, be prepared to do a lot, because when you're with God, you're a majority. See, sometimes the things that you do for the kingdom, they don't seem like much, but they have a great dividend. For example, anybody hear of a man named Ananias? Paul had just had an encounter with the Lord while he was going to Damascus to take Christians captive. And he would persecute Christians, he would imprison Christians, simply because they believed in Jesus Christ. And through his encounter with God, he was made blind. God gave him 3 days to choose whether or not he was going to accept God's plan. He had 3 days to mull it over as to, okay, this is the plan, Paul. I'm going to show you how many things you're going to have to suffer me. You got 3 days to make your choice. Then God connects with a man named Ananias. God says, Ananias. He said, yes. He said, I want you to go to Saul. He told him exactly where he was. And Ananias said, wasn't he the one that was persecuting Christians? He said, yes, but he's a chosen vessel unto me. Okay. So Ananias went. I'm going to use you, Nelson, as an example, all right? What did Ananias do? He laid hands on Paul. Scales fell from his eyes. He got filled with the Holy Ghost, and he baptized Paul. What else do you ever hear about Ananias? I haven't read anything else, but you know what? God used one man to jumpstart a worldwide ministry that planted several churches and wrote half the New Testament. We may not think that that's a whole lot, but in God's eyes, he did what God wanted him to do, and in God's eyes, whenever you do what God wants you to do, it's a lot, no matter how it looks to us. Whew, this is good. Another thing that I learned from the story of the wise men, rich seeds of faithfulness will produce a great harvest of joyfulness. Woo! Jesus said, when you're faithful with the little, I'll make you ruler over much. And those who were faithful with the little got to enter into his joy. Remember the parable of the talents? 5, 2, and 1? The guy who got 5, he received the 5, he went and traded, he made 5 more, he brought back 10. The guy who had 2, he went and traded, he got 2 more, and he brought back 4. Now the one who had 1 did nothing. Okay, I'm just going to say it like this. I was going to say it a little bit differently, but that one sat on a frog like a log. He buried his talent. He hid his talent out of fear. Didn't do nothing. Didn't say anything. Didn't have any, you know, it doesn't take faith to hide. Unless God says go hide, then you do it in faith. But when you hide your talent from others, it takes no faith. And things without faith, things that have no faith don't please God. Every one of us have been given talents. So the 5 and the 2, they were called good and faithful servants. Jesus said, enter into joy today. But the one who went and hid his talent, his was taken away. What he had, he lost because he had no revelation. He had no insight. And he was called a wicked and slothful servant. And his was given to the one who had 10, the one who was doing something. So, rich seeds of faithfulness will produce great harvests of joyfulness. I could hear the wise men as they were traveling. The whole way, When people with them were saying, "Are we there yet?" You ever travel with people? "Are we there yet? How much further? I want to get out of the car. I'm tired of being in the car." We're not there yet. Those wise men, every time that a voice came, said, "We're not," they said, "We're going to worship the King. We're going to worship the King." With every step, with every place, "We're going to worship the King. We're going." They were excited to make the journey, this long journey, to walk in the light as He is in the light. Their destination was, "We're going to see our King. We're going to see our King. We're going to see our King." They traveled that journey with a positive mindset. You know, positive expectancy will put you in forward motion. They were faithful. You think that anybody attempted to rob them along the way? Maybe. I mean, there was, depending on where you travel in those days, there was robbers. And these guys were obviously wealthy. But they kept that journey. They kept pressing on for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. They refused to quit. They refused to turn this way or that way. They kept their focus on Jesus. They kept their focus on the King. And when they got to the King, they had exceeding great joy. And it's the same joy that you can have today, right now, in this place. You just got to believe you receive. And joy will come out of you like Old Faithful out of Yellowstone National Park. It'll shoot up in you like a geyser. Poof. Another thing I learned from this story. When you give yourself wholly to God, God will give you heaps of joy in return. Was there anything the wise men held back from Jesus? Not only did they make the journey, but when they got into His presence, they bowed before their King. They worshiped Him in spirit and in truth. He was just a baby, a young boy, maybe about 2 years old. They're worshiping a two-year-old because they knew He was more than a two-year-old. He was the King. He was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. They recognized Him for who He is. When you worship God, worship Him for who He is and what He's done and what He's going to do. There's no situation that you can face in life that God doesn't have an answer or a way out. The problem is we turn to Him too late. We haven't practiced getting in His presence. So when trouble comes, it's a lot harder to get into His presence then because you haven't been practicing. Those wise men probably had Bible studies along the way. They were probably reading from Isaiah. They knew the prophets. When you give yourself wholly to God, God will give you heaps of joy in return. What did God say to Isaiah when he had the vision when King Uzziah died? He said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train fills the temple." And God says, "I've chosen you. I'm sending you." And Isaiah realized, he said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." But what did God do when he gave himself wholly to God? God sent an angel to grab a coal from the altar and to touch his lips, and instantly his lips were made clean. When you give yourself wholly to God, he will cleanse your life. He will make something great out of you. He will cause you to do great exploits for him. When you give yourself wholly to him, don't hold back. Don't withhold any of yourself to God. Give yourself your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole body, everything that is you, all that is you, everything that makes up you, give it to God today. Give yourself wholly. Let yourself be undignified a little bit. What do I mean? every once in a while, we need a little bit of crazy worship. Worship that other people, if they were to look at you, they'd think you're crazy. Remember what happened on the day of Pentecost? When the Holy Spirit came down and the 120 were talking in tongues and all the nations around understood them, even though they couldn't speak. This group that was talking weren't learned in the languages that they were speaking. What did they say? They said, these men are drunk. Peter said, oh, they're drunk, but they're not drunk like you think they are. He said, this was that was spoken by the prophet Joel. I'm telling you, when you get intoxicated by the Holy Spirit, it'll make you talk weird. It'll make you walk weird. But I'll tell you what, you won't have a hangover when you're done. We need to get intoxicated by the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost fire to burn off the wood, the hay, and the stubble in our lives. We need some Holy Ghost fire, some passion for God that causes us to be overcomers in Christ Jesus, to cause us to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen. Did you know it's the Word and the Spirit working together? Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and their life. This is spirit. You want to learn how to talk with the Spirit? Right here. Learn the Word. And it'll be easier to communicate with the Holy Spirit. Okay, another thing I learned from this story. Woo! Joy comes from walking in the light, seeking out His presence, inquiring into His ways, worshiping God fervently, passionately, and wholeheartedly, and giving to God lavishly. How did they get to where they were? They were walking in the light. The Bible says the entrance of His Word, it gives light, and it shines on the inward parts. As you learn things about Jesus, as you learn things about His kingdom, you are then to walk that out in your life. You are to let the light lead you. How should I treat my neighbors? The light says you should love your neighbor as yourself, and you should treat them as Christ treats you. Isn't that what He says? We should love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength, and we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, I have a problem loving myself. Well, Jesus has a solution to that problem. Doesn't matter what happened to you in your life. Doesn't matter how people treated you. You can experience the love of God. His love is shed abroad in your heart. His love holds up under anything. His love bears up under anything. His love covers a multitude of sins. There's nothing that you cannot get through with the love of God on your side. So, joy in God comes from walking in the light, seeking out His presence. They came to Jerusalem because they were worshiping a king. They thought, well, you know, the king is going to be in Jerusalem. Where is he who was born King of the Jews? We've come to worship Him. We've come to VCF today to worship the King of the Jews. We were singing about the King, amen? Did you know the King loves your worship? Isn't it awesome how when we worship God corporately, the King of all the universe comes in and inhabits our praises? So they walked in the light. They sought out His presence. They inquired into His ways. They were seeking truth. You know, truth will set you free. You shall know the truth. If you continue in my word, Jesus said, you will be my disciples indeed. Now, He's talking to those who continue in His word and are His disciples. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So one who is set free by the truth is one who continues in the word and is a disciple. To be a disciple, you got to be disciplined. Uh-oh. See, when you're disciplined, when God's work is here and something else comes up, and it's something that doesn't need your attention right away, Your discipline says, I'm going to go with God's work. And when I put God's work for, he'll take care of this all right here. Right? Okay? They worshiped God fervently. The minute they saw him, they dropped to their knees. Oh, come, let us bow down and worship God, our Savior. The psalmist said, come, let us worship. We got to worship. God desires people who worship him in spirit and in truth. He hungers for your worship. He longs for your worship. He cries out for your worship. And all we have to do is to connect with God is to worship him. The minute you start to worship God, he ushers you into his presence. Just like, what would you do if you were sitting in a dungeon chained at midnight? You could cry, you could complain, you could talk bad about the guards, or you could worship God. Well, crying, complaining, and talking bad about the guards aren't going to open the door. But when you worship God, whoo, he'll shake, he'll have a jailhouse rock. And he will open the prison. Worship opened the prisons. It wasn't silent worship because the Bible says the other prisoners heard them. You know, there was a church one time, and a guy stood up and said, let's bow for a moment of silent prayer. And the devil said, amen. Because devil knows silent prayers don't do much, but when you open your mouth and declare the word of God, you overcome him. And they gave to God lavishly. They opened up their treasures. Is the Bible, does your Bible have it plural? Treasures. Now, people think that there were three kings, but there was three gifts. Don't know how many wise men there were. Doesn't really matter. They worshiped and they gave and they got exceeding great joy. So if you worship today and you give today, then you are a candidate to receive exceeding great joy just like they did. They couldn't wait to open up their gifts and give it to him. Do you realize it was the gifts of the wise men that sustained Jesus and his family in Egypt? They had to flee for their lives. They had to leave at night. They had no time to go to the bank. They had no time to go to the ATM. But the gifts that the wise men came were right on time, and that sustained them while they were in Egypt. Gold, frankly, all of them valuable. One was very desirable. One was for his spiritual life, and one was for his future. The myrrh, that's what they would bury people in. Incense, frankincense was an incense, and you know, incense is like prayers. Our prayers rise up to God like incense to his throne, don't they? Okay. One final thing I learned from this story. I know some of you are looking at your watches, but I'm not done yet. I mean, it's the last service, it's the last Sunday of the year. Give me a little bit of flexibility. Are you having a good time? God's joy protects and delivers you from evil and hides you from the enemy. Because they had exceeding great joy, God spoke to them, told them, go home another way, don't go to Herod. So not only did they came for the worship service, but they got to go home. You know, one time, I got to tell you this story. When I was, I guess I was at Lee. I can't remember. Anyway, I was flying home during a holiday. And there was this black gentleman sitting next to me. And I always would strike up a conversation. And his name was Benjamin Garrett Jr. And he pastored this church in a suburb of Chicago. And we hit it off so well that he invited me to their celebration service. And they were celebrating 25 years of ministry. Now, I was the only white person in the congregation, and I was sitting on the platform. And this pastor introduced me, and I just got to share a little bit of a testimony, okay? Now, here's the funny part. They were in such a bad suburb of Chicago that one of their parishioners was a police officer, and at the end of the service, they said, would you like me to escort you to the highway so you get there safely? And I said, that would be great. So I had a police escort to the highway. It was awesome because it was a very bad neighborhood. But Benjamin and his wife were very gracious to me. When I got to the church, I got there early. They were about 70 miles from where my parents live. So I got there early because I didn't really know the way, and they were eating fried chicken in the back room of the church there, and of course they offered me some, but I had already eaten and I was good. But it was such a great experience. But you know, I got a safe passage out, just like the wise men did. God gave them a safe passage because God's joy will protect you from the enemy. Do you realize the enemy has no concept of joy? He lost his joy of his own doing. I don't know of anybody else who was ever kicked out of heaven, but Satan was kicked out of heaven. He lost his job. He lost his anointing, and he's forever doomed. He has a retirement by the lake of fire. Not any place that you want to go to. But I was just pointing out the safe passage. Now, the wise men, they prepared their hearts, their minds, and their treasures. And the preparation was to honor the king. That's all they wanted to do, was to honor the king. When you give your tithes and your offerings, you are honoring the king. Amen? The wise men praised the king. They worshiped him. The wise men presented themselves to God and worshiped him wholeheartedly. And their worship and their giving went hand in hand. All right? Go with me to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. I may even get done early today. I only go as long as your seat can endure, and as long as the Holy Spirit is still working. Psalm 67, it resembles a lot of the priestly blessing in Numbers 6. It says, God, be merciful unto us, bless us, cause your face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon the earth. The reason God shines in your heart is he wants you to know his way. How many know we were all lost? Every one of us lost our way, didn't we? But there was somehow God helped us find our way. And that's why you're here today. Your saving health or your salvation among all the nations. God wants all the nations to be saved. He wants men everywhere to repent and come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let the people praise you. Oh God, let all the people praise you. So how many people should praise God? Whenever we're praising God, we all should be involved some way. Okay? Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Did you know that sometimes joy doesn't come right away, but as you sing to it, joy will build up. It's like pressure in a carbonated beverage. Okay? Sitting on the table by itself, it doesn't have the pressure, but shook up a little bit, and the pressure builds, doesn't it? And when you take the lid off, there's an explosion. It's time to have a Holy Ghost explosion. Amen? Okay? Then shall the earth yield her increase. It's when the people praise him that the earth yields his increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. So let me just give you seven little points of how to have joy, the exceeding great joy, just like the wise men had. and I won't take a long time, all right? But are you hooked up?
Yes.
Got your seatbelts on?
Yes.
All right? It's like you're at a ride at Hershey Park and we're about to take off.
All
right. All of a sudden, we were just going chick, 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 but now we're going to hit the hill, all right? The reason that God is the source of our joy as Christians is, number one, God himself is the source of joy. Psalm 43:4, it says, "Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God." Now, we don't have harps, but we have guitars, all right? But is God your exceeding joy? Why don't you say that with me? Say, God, you are my exceeding joy. You are the source of my joy. My joy comes from you and is in you. Amen. Now, because your joy comes from God and it's in him, the world can't take it away. That's good news, isn't it? Isaiah 61:10. I will rejoice in the Lord a little bit. It doesn't say that? How does it say? I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall... It sounds to me like this person made a decision to be joyful. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will rejoice in my God. It sounds to me like this person who wrote this made a decision that they're going to be joyful. I hope you make the same decision today. Right now, today, December 28th, 2014, you're making a decision that God is your exceeding joy and your soul is going to be joyful in him. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. If you have nothing to be joyful about, you ought to be joyful that you've been saved from hell. You've been saved from destruction. You've been saved from death. Amen. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if it hasn't been, it can be written in there today. He's clothed me with the garments of salvation. I've been saved. I've been delivered. I've been healed. Hallelujah. I got something to shout about. I got something to be joyful about because of the garment of salvation that I'm wearing. This robe of righteousness, you can't see it, but it's on me. I have a garment of praise that breaks off the heavy. Listen, when I feel heavy, when I feel burdened, change clothes. Put on the garment of praise. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself out with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Come on, ladies and men, those of you that got married. When you got married, you do your best to deck yourself out. Right? There is no such thing as an ugly bride. But this is the, see, just like he's making the example, like a bridegroom and a bride deck themselves out, that's how God's salvation decks us out. And that's why we should be joyful. Number two, we should be, the source of our joy is Christ himself. Philippians 3:2-3 says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." What would you rather do? Have confidence in the flesh or rejoice in Christ Jesus? So rejoicing in Christ Jesus, it may start in the flesh, but there's a spiritual thing that takes over. But our joy should be in Christ. I like 1 Peter 1:8-9. "Whom having not seen, you love." I haven't seen him, but I love him. "Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." So if you want inexpressible joy that's full of glory, it's going to take faith. It's going to take you believing God. All right? Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, we are saved now, but there's coming a day when Jesus Christ returns where we're going to get glorified bodies. And that's when our salvation will be complete. What we have now is just a down payment. Woo, and if the down payment is good, imagine receiving the whole thing. Hallelujah. Another reason that we as Christians can rejoice is based on the promises of God. How many know that the promises of God are faithful? His promises, all of his promises are yes and amen. Psalm 119, 162 says, rejoice at God's word as finding a treasure. You know, Jesus told parables of a guy who found a field and he sold everything he had to buy that field, and he bought it with great joy. He invested everything he had in the gospel, and you'll never lose investing your life in the gospel, in God's good news. After all, isn't this good news that we have? It's not bad news. God did not come to give bad news and a frown to everybody in the whole earth. He came to give good news of great joy. So we can have joy because of God's promises. Number four, we can have joy because of the administration of the gospel and its ordinances. Psalm 89:15 says, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Do you know the joyful sound? The sound of God's voice, the voice of encouragement, the voice of faith, the voice of healing, the voice of joy, the voice of many waters. Understand and appreciate the spiritual blessings symbolized by the feast. That's the Amplified. They walk, O Lord, in the light and favor of your countenance. I believe that the wise men were walking in the light and favor of his countenance. I believe when they got to where Jesus was, God was looking down from heaven and smiling. And that's why it was so bright. And that's why they had exceeding great joy. A fifth thing that we can have joy as Christians is the conversion of sinners. Acts 15, verses 3 and 4 says, so being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. You know, if the angels in heaven get excited over someone converting, then we should too. When someone comes to Christ, that's the greatest miracle of all. Amen? That's why we're here. We want to help people find Christ. We want to help people get to Christ, because Christ is the answer. All right? Luke 15:7 says, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who need repentance. They rejoice over the one who repents, who makes a difference. Are you ready to make a difference in your life today? Maybe the course that you've been on hasn't been producing the results that you desire. Then I would say change course. Isn't that awesome about the gospel? That when we find out we're going the wrong course, we can change directions. God gives us an opportunity to change directions. It's not too late to do a U-turn and come back to Christ. Number six, the reason that we can have joy as Christians is our future state. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How many of you are rejoicing that when you leave this earth, you're going to be in heaven with Jesus? That's something to rejoice about. And even when death comes, guess what? For the Christian, for the believer, death has no sting. Death has lost its sting. Why? When we die, we just step out of our body and we say, well, that's it. Your body's laying on the ground, and as a believer in Christ, you step out of your body. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We have a future. Our future is spending eternity in heaven. It's going to the Lamb's celebration party. The marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to have a huge family reunion in heaven. And it's going to be awesome, and you don't want to miss it. So get your ticket now before they're sold out. What do you mean? Do you realize, you know, God's grace, it gives people an opportunity to repent, but sometimes they've reached their limit. There were many people who died without knowing Christ. Don't be one of them. I want to enter into the joy of the Lord. So, if there's joy to enter into, let's just enter into it right now. Today, December 28th, this Sunday, let's enter into the joy of the Lord. Let's be people who walk in the light, who follow after Christ, who seek Him, and then finally, our joy should be constant. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, I don't feel like it. Always. Did you know that your rejoicing in the Lord has nothing to do with what you feel? Did Jesus have joy before Him while He endured the cross? Yeah. See, here's the thing. Suffering lasts but for a moment. But when suffering is done, what comes? Joy comes in the morning. It's morning time. Who's there? It's joy. Open up the door and let me in. Come on in. These are reasons we can have joy today. You can have the very same joy. The reason God respected the wise men because they operated by faith. Can you operate by faith? Can you walk in the light? Can you worship God? Can you give yourself to God? Then doing the same things that they did, you get the same reward. That's how God designed it. For some, today you need a swift kick in the cans. You've been telling yourself why you can't do what God's asked you to do, why you can't be where God wants you to be, why you can't do this, why you can't. Let's put the cans out, all right? Besides, our dictionary is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me tell you something. When you're faced with a choice, God's got a way. When you don't know what to do, God's got a way. Moses was before the Red Sea, and on the heels were the Egyptian army. Red Sea, Egyptian army. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? The devil's sitting on your head. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? How are you going to get out of this one? You're stuck, Moses. Moses, he doesn't want to look at the Red Sea. He doesn't want to look at the Egyptian army. God, help. God says, what's in your hand? Oh, I got a staff. Raise your staff. Okay. The minute he raised his staff, the waters began to part, and there was a path that had been preserved for God's people to walk through. No one knew of that path, but one who knew how to call on God got access to that path. And God's got a path for your through your Red Sea too. He can outwit the Egyptian army, because when you let God arise, your enemies will scatter. Now, I know some of you have gone through some things. We've gone through some things. But it doesn't matter what things you've gone through. God is the source of our joy, and we can rejoice today. We can have a celebration today. Amen? Now, who here, let me just open it up for a few minutes. I want you to make a positive statement about something that God did for you good this year. All right? One brief, everybody say brief. Positive statement. Okay? I'm going to start. All right? This year, I had a traffic ticket. But the traffic ticket was not a traffic ticket. It was a citation for a criminal charge. And I had to go to New York City. I had to go to court in Queens. Okay? And thank God for my wife who made some phone calls. And we went before the judge. And I told him what happened. And the judge said, case dismissed. Hallelujah. I give God praise that my case was dismissed. It was an unjust charge. It should have, you know, if anything, it was a minor traffic violation, but they made it a criminal charge, and the judge said, case dismissed. That's my testimony. Anybody else got a testimony? All right.
While we were in the mission field, I had dizziness, and I kept falling over, and I called the pastor, and he prayed, and it took several days, and I kept reading the Bible and praising the Lord, and finally a heat went over me that was joyous, and I can't even explain it. And I called him, and I was screaming and hollering.
I remember that. And by the way, isn't it good to have Ginger back?
Yes.
Now, Dave isn't feeling well, but it's good to have them back. Okay. Now, we're not going to clap at the testimony. We're going to give praise to God. All right? So let's just practice. She gave her testimony. Let's just raise our hands and say, praise God. All right? We're going to do this quick and brief.
When Jennifer and I got married, her and I shared this year our faith in Christ with a close friend of mine, and I found out she accepted Christ as her Savior.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Another testimony, another positive statement. All right. I'll do this side, then I'll do that side, okay?
My daughter had a very massive heart attack and was in a very bad accident. And the night of that accident, she actually died three times, but she is alive, she is well, she is at my house, and I just praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, praise God. That's awesome. Testimony?
Lord helped me get my first home. I'm a homeowner now.
Praise God, hallelujah. Anybody else on this side? Okay, how about over there? This is the amen corner over here. Positive statement about what God did for you this year, 2014. Oh, yeah.
Lord got me a new job. I can stay in the area and actually come to church more.
And a new truck.
And a new truck, absolutely.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Glory to God.
I got to pray several times with people at work and agree on things, and God answered all those prayers.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm telling you, we got something to rejoice about.
My marriage is better, and my relationship with my kids is better.
Awesome. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Any other testimony? All right. I'll get to you next, Dawn.
I had nowhere to go. My mother had put me out of her home, and I found Ginger, and thank the Lord he gave me a home with Ginger.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
I have several. I fell and broke my back, but it wasn't as serious as it could have been. I'm getting around. I'm not on any pain pills. They said it would heal on its own. My osteoporosis has been upgraded from to just osteopenia, so my bones are growing better. Terry had fallen and was not hurt, put a hole in the wall, but he wasn't hurt. And we are signing this week for our house, and that alone is a big hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, you didn't know that I was going to do that today. I didn't either. But what a better way to celebrate than hear our brothers and sisters and what God is doing. You see what God is doing? We have a reason to celebrate. We have a reason to rejoice. And I want you to do that right now. And if you're here today and you need prayer for anything, I'm telling you, God's presence is here. God's power is here. And God is going to do great and mighty things. And if you have any prayer requests, and if you want to just come up and receive prayer, I'll be more than happy to pray with you. And for the others, I just want you to spend some, just a small, brief time rejoicing in God. All right? If you don't feel the need that you got to come up here, that's fine. But those of you that do, just make your way up here right now. I'm going to pray. We're going to release the power of God and the anointing of God. And we're going to celebrate in God's goodness.
You
amen.
Hear me when I call.
Hallelujah.
You are God is here. Morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me.
Overcome some turbulence, and you're about to get to cruising speed, just like the airplane. It's going to be smoother sailing. It's going to be better. Hallelujah. Oh, if I cast under what the enemy meant for evil, God, you turn it around for good. And I just thank you that the blessing of the Lord is on her. In Jesus' name. Oh, the restoring of the strength. Hallelujah. The healing. Oh, the refreshing and the strengthening and the invigorating. Call about Kasana in Jesus' name.